Doc. The clock has started. Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny.
Hey, Kyle. Hi, welcome back.
Hey, been gone so long. It feels like it's been a week since the last time we talked. Has it been a week since we last talked?
I don't like this tone that we're reaching.
Keep it up for the whole episode?
Would it be better if I did it in key? Did we just get back this week? Kenny, good morning.
Yes, we'll
just do a bunch of Tuvan throat singing. For the intro from now on. Yeah. Hey, thanks for tuning in live. We're live right now. Goodstuff.fm/live and on Twitch. That's where we stream. I think the best way to get it.
You could also say goodstuff.fm/live.
Right.
Because we're living.
Because we're living and we've been live for 24 minutes now over on goodstuff.fm/live. Leave. Well, leave no. is di- no leave
no,
is different.
Don't do that.
It's just it's leave maybe. No. All right. Well, no. Good. I'm glad. We agree.
Kyle, is that the accent that you were hearing up in Alaska where you were?
No, it wasn't. Everyone just spoke snow for the most part.
It just fell out of their mouths. Snow.
Yeah, it instead of saying yes, people said no. It was really cold up there, Kenny. It was really cold.
Where'd you go?
I went to Fairbanks. It's time to ask Kenny. I went to Fairbanks or not. I actually did. I ended up going to Fairbanks and it was great. It was a wonderful time, a wondrous winter wonderland. Unfortunately, it's spring. And it was still very, very, very cold.
Unfortunately, it's not even spring yet, Kyle. We have another like week and a half.
Seriously?
Well, no, a week.
We sprung 20th, forward. 21st. I thought with all these time changes,
I'm just spring.
I'm just so confused. So confused.
First day of spring is like the 21st.
Probably is. I don't keep track anymore. It doesn't matter down here in Southern California. It's just spring all the time. We get 300
next week.
We get 385 days of summer, and it's just fine. It's
you
great.
Get 20 extra days down there.
We do. The calendars are a little messed up, but the month of sumuary is just
sumuary. Okay.
Anyway, it was cold up there. Got there on Wednesday.
No. No. Let's put a value on this. Let's actually rank your coldness. Maybe our listeners will have something to say about, oh, Kyle thinks it's cold.
It was 8 degrees when we landed and with the Fs. 8 degrees Fs. And it got up to, I want to say, like 29 when we were there. So still freezing, but it would fluctuate. It wasn't in the negatives or anything. Surprisingly, though, it also didn't snow. See, I'm just focusing. I'm hyper. This is not a weather podcast, but I'm hyper focused on the weather aspect of my trip because it was so different. I had to buy clothing that did the thing where it would like insulate me and keep me warm and take all of the warm parts that I am generating with my foods and turn them into actual warmth for my body. Mm-hmm. I'm just not used to that. I'm used to just giving myself to the environment and being one with my surroundings, literally the same temperature outside me as inside me.
I was going
to
say, I was gonna say you have been dealing with like the exact same temperature like year round for the last 6-7 years.
And let me say, it was nice to have some sort of difference between the inside temperature of a hotel or a restaurant, a bar, all those great places.
No one had the windows open.
No, no windows, no bugs. And then you go outside and it's just, and you can see your breath, and it was great. But the whole reason we went up there was to try and catch the Aurora Borealis. And indeed we did. Two nights in a row.
Oh, cool.
I posted a couple of videos on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Broderick on Instagram. You can probably not see those anymore because they were one of those Snapchatty kind of things. You hold the stories and they're only just there for 24 hours. Because, you know, it's too permanent. You know, as a millennial,
you can also delete them later.
Well, you can delete them later, but why? I don't want to take that extra effort. I just want them to disappear into the ether, just like the Aurora Borealis. Psh, there it goes.
So was that like a bucket list kind of thing that you wanted to check off?
Yes. I wanted to go see the Northern Lights, and indeed I did. Let me see if I can pull up some photos here for you to fully experience what that was like. This is probably the best example of that. Let me find a way to put this on the stream here.
This is great. This is great audio here, Kyle.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to see the picture.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is replace you.
What?
With the picture.
So I have to describe what I am then?
Yes.
I am the picture?
Yes. Okay.
Look at me. I am green and I am flowing in the sky.
So this was taken actually on my Pixel 2 XL, whatever it was.
This makes it look like you actually took a video on a an old flip phone.
Yeah, unfortunately, camera phone like we used to have.
Yeah, this doesn't. Why did you make it a GIF? Why didn't you actually take a video?
Now, see, Google made the GIF, and the reason I had to do this was because this isn't what it looks like in real life. These are 4-second exposures, over whatever. There's what, 5 different in here. So this is like 30 seconds of shooting, and it was like dancing in the sky. It was beautiful. It was wonderful.
Okay. All right.
The colors.
I sound so skeptical.
Weaving into each other.
Did you guys just go up to look at this, or did you have a host to tell you why this was happening, or what was the deal?
No. This particular night was, we were in the city still. You can see some of the lights in the background and the lights of a car pulling up on the right hand side there at the end of the looping video. So we just drove out to this field kind of in the middle of nowhere and were able to catch this. It was kind of cloudy that night. And so we weren't sure if we would see anything, but we figured, hey, let's just go out and see what we can find. The next night, let me put this back here, move that over. The next night, we actually went out to a place it was like 30 miles south or so. And let me pull that up and put that back over there. And I rented a camera and did some.
You rented a camera?
Yeah, did some night photography.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I didn't. You know, mine, it's from like 2006 or something. It's a Sony. I didn't have a wide angle lens to catch the whole sky. So I rented a camera. We went out to the middle of nowhere and I did some like 15 to 20 second exposures and produced this image, this wondrous image.
Nice.
So still
green.
Let me
describe what's happening here.
Still green. So,
lots of stars. Oh. Mm-hmm. And there's is that a cabin in the background there?
Yeah. So there was a place where we could warm up in this 0 degree weather. In between waiting for the lights to come out. The thing is, while you're waiting for these northern lights, they come in these like 5 to 10 minute bursts. And we downloaded an app specifically for tracking these things.
Of course you did.
And it would send you a push notification saying like, hey, they're about to be outside. Go look. And it was pretty accurate every time. So highly recommended. I don't remember the name of the app. Aurora.
So, Kyle, great. What you're telling me is you went on a 3 to 4 day trip and nothing bad happened.
Well, no. I mean, bad. Define bad.
Define bad? How about not good?
A bunch of not good things happened.
Let's hear it. Because, Kyle, when people want to hear a story, they're like, okay, sure. Tell, like, what did you like? Now tell me all the bad stuff that happened to you because it's funny to me.
Sure. Badstuff.fm/live. We got there. It was cold. I think that's not really a bad thing. It just
that's
is
not a bad thing.
Thing.
Boo-hoo. But
the car that we rented was a 2-wheel drive, front wheel drive, Nissan Maxima. And driving that on icy roads was very dangerous and probably the worst part of the entire trip. It got us where we needed to go, but not at all what I expected from a place that knows that it's going to get snow and knows that the roads will literally be frozen for 4 months straight.
Did you request a sedan?
Yes.
Why?
Because it was available.
Mm-mm. Nope. You hold out for that mini SUV or whatever and you get that. You get that 4-wheel drive.
But even then, 4-wheel drive wouldn't have done it. I think it's the tires, it's the snow tires, it's the weight of the vehicle. There were a whole bunch of different factors, I think. I've never driven.
The issue. 4-wheel drive vehicles are heavier and have decent tires.
Probably. Sure. We could have probably just picked up some people and thrown them in the back and maybe a moose. Just strap a moose to the top. One of those kind of things. But yeah, it was just surprising to see that they even let you rent that kind of thing. I'm sure it's fine in the summer when it's sunny summer round. I wasn't going to say year round. So no, summer
in the
round.
Summer, it only gets up to 10.
No, it's a good like 60 to 70 degrees up there. That's in the crazy. Summer, which is really nice.
Global warming.
Right. Anyway, I really enjoyed my trip. And
wait, are you telling me that's the only bad thing, that you guys accidentally got a car that wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Like nothing, like you didn't meet like a weird stranger at the airport, or you didn't, when you were on the plane, like someone didn't spill their drink on you, or it's so boring. What a boring trip.
I mean, I met some polar bears.
No, I did.
I'm right. See, I'm over here. I met a polar bear made of ice.
Did you put makeup on for that photo?
No. It's Google. I blame Google for all of these things.
Google is totally airbrushing all of your face problems.
Yes, it is. It is actually airbrushing lots of my face. Here is another photograph of me.
That's me. Hey, I was on your trip. I was in my office.
Mm-hmm. Me, another me with a polar bear. Man. A polar bear made of ice. We went to an ice park that had some ice
things.
Did anybody
compliment you on your mustard colored jacket?
No, of course not. They don't have mustard up there.
No, they were all revolted.
They don't know, yeah, they don't know what mustard is. We went to a hockey game. Okay. Let's see here. There
Do you
is
have any good food? I figured you
had
guys
a lot
would
of
have
good food,
been
yeah.
bragging about the food. Or the beer, maybe.
I had some pretty good beer. Here's me walking into an ice castle in slow motion. Let me get myself down here. Hi, yes, it's me. Hello. I'm getting ready to... Yeah, it's a little slow.
Who was that?
it was probably me saying hello. So as I slowly... Okay, well, that's...
This is literally the most boring thing ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's
slow motion Kyle getting ready to slide, and then just regular motion him going down the slide.
I haven't edited this properly yet. I just had a great vacation. I'm so glad to be back. I'm so wondrously glad to be sharing some time with you this morning. How was your weekend? Was it cold?
I was working all weekend.
Great. Wonderful. It's a little quiet. Let's get that back.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, there we go. Kenny, let's talk about some news then, huh?
Oh, sure.
These are today's headlines.
What's going on?
Hey, Kyle, you know, like... Hey, Kyle, remember when there was Snapchat Spectacles, and you remember when there was like Google Glass, and now, you know, you're getting into like
Leapfrog, I think.
Smart Leap,
smart glasses.
Yeah, basically augmented reality glasses. Like that's gonna become a trend, because VR goggles are just these big behemoths on your face, and that's too obtrusive, right? We want to have glasses that just look like regular sunglasses that you wear on your face, and it turns your world into something else.
I mean, if we're talking about what we want, I think we want augmented reality, probably in a contact lens. I have problems sticking my fingers into my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. Your eyeballs into your fingers?
Yes. As they reach out of my face and try and grab my finger and pull it into my eye.
Ugh,
I feel like that would be ideal. That's what we want. Or maybe we want Star Trek, the holodeck.
You okay here?
Yeah, holodeck. Yeah, holodeck. The word. Holodeck.
Holodeck.
That's what we want. But tell me what I'm supposed to want. What do you want me to want?
I want you to want Bose's augmented reality glasses that are using sound instead of sight. And let that sink in a little bit. Sound instead of sight, but they're called glasses.
So they're augmenting the sound that goes into my ears?
So let me enlighten you here a little bit. Okay. Audio company Bose announced a project it's calling Bose AR at this year's South by Southwest Festival, which was this past weekend. I can't believe that you went to Alaska and not down to Austin. That's weird. It showed off a pair of prototype glasses that demonstrate what sound-based AR might look like and what it might feel like. The company plans to ship 10,000 of these glasses to developers and manufacturers this summer, so getting pretty close to that, with the intent of partnering with other eyewear companies. So I guess to make them look good, here's how they're going to work. The devices combine data from embedded motion sensors with GPS information from your phone, which they connect with via Bluetooth. The GPS detects where the user is, and the 9-axis sensor can determine which direction you're looking and moving. Small focused speakers pipe sound toward the wearer's ears. I don't like wearer's ears. You can hear audio from like a few feet away at a very loud volume in an enclosed room, but then the sound was totally self-contained when you go outside. App developers can tag locations and trigger specific audio cues. So what you're doing is you are creating scenes with sound rather than sight. You're not creating a visual world. You're creating a soundscape based on your location, based on your GPS location, based on the surroundings that are tagged around you.
This sounds like they are glorified audio tour, like headphones. Like when you go into a museum, which I did during my trip to Fairbanks, great. Alaska.
We've heard enough.
And you put on the headphones, and they tell you about the thing that you're standing in front of. That kind of sounds like what it is. Why not just make them into like little earbuds or something? Why glasses? Why does it even need this form factor?
It needs, well, I'm sure that what it, all the sensors and all the stuff that's actually going on, it's probably a larger package than they can fit into. Like, they'd have to have big can headphones like I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, I'm going to replace.
Over the ear.
I'm replacing you with the article that I'm looking at right now so we can get a good look at what these are.
And, you know, to force somebody to put on giant, you know, over-the-ear headphones for the same effect that you could just get with something they wear on their ears or, you know, on their face, I should say. Now, I will say, great first step. However, this is only a half step. You got to go up a full step. They need to partner with somebody who's doing visual AR, mm-hmm. and then you'll have the complete package.
Magic
Leap. You'll have sound. Magic Leap. That's the name of that company. So you'll have the sound from Bose, right? With all this stuff that's happening, the soundscape stuff, mm-hmm. and then you'll have the visual component. Which doesn't, you know, you don't need to actually add the sound from the visual component because you've got Bose working on that. Once you combine the two, there you go. Then you're creating a complete package.
The thing is, it's like, this is not a problem that we have. Like, we have the problem of having you hear things when you're actually augmenting your reality, right? When you're seeing something different and you're like, whoa, what's, you know, it doesn't feel real because you're not immersing me in all the senses. But
right,
when you just take away the visual part and give me the auditory part, it's like you're listening to something. It you are just listening to something. It's like a podcast in your ears. Why?
This is weird. I feel like Bose, they're probably developing the technology for the getting the spatial relation stuff, like getting that correct, mm-hmm. And then what they'll probably do is, you know, develop this a little bit more and then turn this into, it's just in your earbuds now.
Now, why?
It's just in your earbuds.
Or it's just in your brain. It's like contact lenses, but for your ears.
Oh, okay.
Earbuds.
Hey, Bose, let Kyle write your...
Hold on. Why are they not like bone conduction or whatever headphones? So ones that like touch your temples here, mm-hmm. and pipe and like use your bones as the speakers, you know, bones.
Great question.
They've changed their name to Bones from Bose,
yeah, Bose.
To
mm-hmm. Bones.
It just seems like a much better way to do it. Cause otherwise when you're indoors and you hear people's augmented reality, you know, I guess maybe it's like the opposite of Google Glass. You know that they're recording you, or you know that they're listening to something else or seeing something else. So you can hear it too. It sounds anyway. I'm just trying to justify it after the fact. It still sounds real bad. And we need a more complete package. And Kenny, I did not want to go down to South by Southwest because I've been there before, and I don't need that in my life at all. I don't. Sorry.
I like what's happening down there. I think it's almost getting too popular for its own good.
It's a trade show. It's like CES. It started kind of flipping, and it does, nobody cares about this, but
right.
They used to do those talks and stuff. And I saw Elon Musk there, and I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson and all those folks. It was great. Great when I went. Back in 2012 or whatever it was, just have no desire to now. I needed to get cold.
Great.
Can we talk about one more thing? I have an example here of
Bones.
I went to a museum. You know, you remember when I said I went to a museum? When I went to a museum, there was an exhibit at the museum that tried to convert the EM data that was coming in from auroras into audible sound. And so you'd walk into this, not instead of inaudible sound, you'd walk into this room and it would display these lights. And I'm trying to find the example of it now. Here it is. It would display these, I'm gonna replace you, these lights. and then this droning music that was a conversion of the EM data into sound data. I don't know how they mapped it, but you'd walk in and these subwoofers and speakers were just overwhelming the senses, and you could just sit there on this bench that they had and look at these blank walls. Now, if the Bose headphones glasses could do this, maybe I'd be on board, because it could drown out all of the other people and other
dangerous
senses. Well, you know, it's Bose.
This is great. While I'm driving, I'm listening to the Aurora Borealis here in LA. There's a siren behind me. I didn't see it or hear it. I crashed and I have fallen into a ditch.
It's kind of like the opposite of what Bose is trying to do in airplanes. And they're just piping the sound of droning and ambient music directly into your ears at all times. I think that's a great idea.
Now, I was going to ask you that question. What did you do for the flight? Did you have headphones? Did you have earbuds? Did you do the noise canceling? What's your mode of operation on airplanes, on travel airplanes?
These.
As opposed to stationary airplanes.
Right. The ones that actually fly. Well, we had an article last week that we didn't cover where the world's largest airplane debuted. And I was going to make the point that it's not an airplane until it flies. But
it drove.
It drove.
It's the world's largest car.
I don't know about that. I'm unsure about that.
Can you call it the world's largest taxi? Because that's what they said it was doing.
They were taxiing. I wear these headphones that you see at goodstuff.fm/live.
What are they?
ATH M50s.
Okay. You need new ones. I think we've been saying that for the past 3 years.
Right. Hey, what else is going on?
Hey, Kyle, Fitbit unveils Apple Watch clone and fitness tracker for kids.
Oh my gosh, the video is auto-playing. Oh, yeah. CNN Tech.
Not a bad riff there.
Ring, ding, ring, ding, ring, ring, ring. It's pretty good.
So, Kyle, Fitbit's latest trackers intend to lure more casual fitness fans and even kids. That's a weird way to say that, CNN.
To lure
technology.
Kids. Yeah. Not great. I'll be honest. Not great.
So before I even dive into this article, I just want to say Fitbit purchased I don't want to say the rights to, but they kind of purchased the team behind Pebble, and not the team behind Pebble, the actual design of the watch. What they wanted was the IP. They wanted the user experience of the Pebble, and then they wanted to put that into the Fitbit package, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And yes. That was, when was that? 2 years ago, I think, or a year and a half ago. It was
when, right whenever after, they shut them down.
Yeah, it was right after Pebble 2 Kickstarter, or the Pebble 2 Time Kickstarter, or something like that. And
color
and
screen, were, right? They had the circle one,
yes. So Pebble was like, all right, we got a brand new product. It's gonna look great. We're updating everything. And then everyone found out, oh, you're like $30 million in debt and you need a buyer.
And nobody wants you.
Except Fitbit, they wanted to look good. And that's what they're doing here this amount of time later. They're unveiling Fitbit Versa. So if you think of your Pebble, vice versa. It's the Versa. It's a smartwatch.
I think I drove that Nissan car when I went to Fairbanks. Is that the...
No, Maxima.
Ah, right. Sorry. I get them confused, the different car.
You wear your car on your wrist.
You do, yeah. Uh-huh.
Kyle, it's a smartwatch that is strikingly similar to the Apple Watch. Sure, CNN. And its first fitness tracker for kids is called the Ace. Fitbit Ace. All right, Ace. Like a 40s, 30s and 40s fun name for people. At first glance, the new Versa's square display and sleek aesthetic are a dead ringer for the Apple Watch, but Fitbit hopes its focus on health and fitness and its lower price point will be the key differentiators. Meanwhile, the new Fitbit Ace tracker is $100, Kyle, It's designed for kids ages 8 and older. I don't know if I'd give an 8-year-old a $100 piece of tech. It's an interesting move for the company, actually, Kyle. Rather than playing catch-up to category leaders like Apple, Fitbit intends to get ahead of the curve by marketing a tracker specifically towards kids. Now, let's find out what it's actually doing specifically for kids. It's nearly identical to the existing Alta tracker, and it tracks sleep, steps, and physical activity, and intends to encourage children to stay active. The battery lasts for up to 5 days. What is the tracker doing to encourage the children? I think that's the parents' job. Sorry.
Yes, I think the money is supposed to be the encouragement, right? It's ye olde problem of you buy the exercise equipment and you think that you're going to...
And that will force...
Go do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a fallacy of life that buying the thing is not doing the thing. So yeah, there we go. True. I replaced your face with the Versa. I apologize.
Is it the car or the Fitbit?
It's actually the car. It's which has nothing to do with this article, but I figure maybe you could be like a talking car, like those Chevron commercials.
Oh, I got something to say about that.
Okay.
I had to get some gas yesterday. I went to a Chevron, and that specific Chevron had a car wash display where all the car washes that you could purchase, mm-hmm. different tiers of it. And then they had that red car, the sports car. You remember from back in the day when it was the sports car and like the wagon, and they had, you know, different characters and stuff. And it was a picture of the red car, but it wasn't like the cartoon version. It wasn't like the Chevron sanctioned version. It was like someone took a picture of the toy car and just pasted it onto this advertisement.
Okay.
And I thought it was really fun because we had the red car, we had the wagon, we had the 4x4 like Jeep thing. I don't remember that. That was good.
Just figuring out how to ban someone from our chat room. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay. Moving on here, I just want to cover what the Versa will actually do for you. And if you're in the market for something other than an Apple Watch, which, you know, a lot of people are, I know I'm sure that you're not necessarily in the market for anything right now.
I don't have anything on my wrist.
Mm-mm. Oh, you're without your withings?
I am definitely without my withings at the moment. I'm not sure what to do. I've stopped pretty much all of my tracking. I am no longer tracking with the Withings watch. I am no longer tracking what I eat with my Fitness Pal. Pretty much everything. I don't know. I feel a bit lost.
That's all you gotta say?
Yeah.
Do you want to have a watch? Let's say it that way. Because at this point, if you're not upgrading to a smartwatch, I think you're taking a step back. Like, you personally, I think that you are taking a step back.
There's a personal attack on me now.
I'm
great.
Not attacking.
I don't know. I was wearing gloves when we were in the Arctic, and
oh my gosh,
it got in the way a lot of the time. So that was kind of reason one. Reason two.
Are you going to ever wear gloves in Irvine?
Probably not. No.
Okay, there you go. Kyle, let me tell you about the Versa here. The new smartwatch has a heart rate monitor, built-in payment capabilities, steps and workout tracking, and it's waterproof so it can count your laps in the pool. You know that thing that you do with the pool? No, you don't do that. Those are all features that are offered by the Apple Watch, although it lacks a built-in GPS and cellular connection option, which the Apple Watch does, or the Series 3 does. But I have a Series 1. I don't care about cellular on my watch. And the Fitbit Versa, Kyle, $200. You're already getting way less than an Apple Watch. It's a solid option for fitness enthusiasts looking to add more smarts to tracking activities. But this is also, I think, for the casual fitness market, like they were explaining earlier in the article. It can record daily stats, sleep cycles, and specific workouts, and it can do, you know, like runs and cycling and yoga. And there's also stuff for like health, just health data in general. It's gonna be the beginning of Fitbit getting into not just fitness, but you know, overall health.
Now, this is for folks who don't want to spring for the Apple Watch, thinking that it's not in their price point. They don't want an older Apple Watch for whatever reason. And they have the misconception that they are going to get in shape or that it's going to be a turning point in their life. And that is what this is for. I feel like the Apple Watch was probably the same for you, but it was not a fitness device, right? You didn't purchase the Apple Watch as a fitness device because you wanted to go walk more or track your steps more.
No, I don't care.
I know our mother, our collective mother, enjoys using the Fitbit to get those notifications. I can't remember the one she has. Heart rate, HR, something like that.
I don't know.
But she gets notifications on her wrist for calls and text messages and stuff like that. And I feel like that is like the reason to get one of these things.
Well, that is the thing. That's the thing I like most about my Apple Watch is the ability to interact with notifications from my wrist. I don't have to pull out my phone. I can clear stuff. I can mark stuff as done. I can check calendar events. I can do all that stuff from my watch. That's great. It's just a quick thing. I can check the weather because the weather is so important to me. Not really. But there is something that you pointed out about the Fitbit Versa, which might make you not want to buy it, Kyle. It's the design of this default watch face with the overlapping numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What is this about?
I don't know. I'm going to play the video again. Okay. I had to go look at the article again to look at the default watch face.
I don't
like it. It does look like it's for a kid, though. Like big bubbly numbers. Maybe it's easy to read at a distance. That was one of the issues that I had. Yeah, at a glance. I had an issue with the whatever they're called on Apple Watch, complications. They were complicated. Mm-hmm. Is the point. And trying to customize those to make them appear the way I wanted to was not always easy. But this just doesn't look good. I just don't like the numbers squishing into each other. And they're different colors. It's like gray, white. Ugh. Ugh. It's awful.
Is that Max back there?
No, that's Chewy. Hey, Chewy. Come here.
What cats?
Come here. They're working behind the scenes here to make sure that the audio is going smooth and getting out to the stream.
Right. Okay. Let me cover one last thing here, Kyle. This came out yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It's a calendar app on the Mac App Store called Calendar 2, and it tried turning Macs into cryptocurrency mining rigs swiftly and hello. But it was swiftly rolled back on the Mac App Store. The update kind of rolled back these changes to the mining in the background kind of thing after Apple caught wind, I suppose. And after all these reviews started coming in, hey, wait a second, what's this about? Let me tell you. Cryptocurrency mining has become common among certain apps, but the trend has infiltrated the Mac App Store. As noted by Ars Technica, the app Calendar 2 briefly and openly embraced crypto mining as an alternative to having users pay a subscription fee. .. Hello? Hello? The developer of the app, Cubix, says that Calendar mines the digital currency known as Monero. Essentially, users had the option between paying 99 cents per month, a one-time upgrade fee of $18, or you could allow Calendar 2 to mine cryptocurrency in the background to unlock the, quote, advanced features of the app. What's happening over there?
The cat is clawing my beard. Ow!
Well, let me finish off this article here. Kyle, the rollout of the feature did not go as planned, however. Yes. One major issue was that the mining would continue even if the user chose one of the other options. So if you decided, nah, I'll throw down the money, too bad. They're gonna mine anyway. Furthermore, the miner was only supposed to use 10% to 20% of the user's Mac, but it was actually using much more than that.
Yes.
The founder of Cubix, not a user, but the founder of Cubix, explained the issue. He says, in short, as you can imagine, these two bugs caused issues. Yeah, bugs. It's actually a feature. It caused issues for many of our own users. We've got a lot of messages saying, I love your app and use it for many years, but this is kicking my computer in overdrive. Please fix it ASAP. So shortly after ours published the initial story, they backtracked on the idea completely, and they decided, we'll just take out the cryptocurrency. We'll just make you guys pay regular money.
Thing. Well, and the problem was apparently that they had included this company's like mining features without knowing what the code did. It was all, you know, closed source proprietary stuff that they injected into their app, saying like, may as well try it, right? And I think it's.
I don't think that's the case. I think that they knowingly did stuff, and when their users decided, I don't like this, then they had to, when they publicly said that. Then they said, okay, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Well, and it's sort of like the whole, you know, no press is bad press, I guess. Imagine
how many views they got on their app now.
Right. They're in the Mac App Store, right? And they're called, what, Calendar 2? That's not a... They've got to be buried in the Mac App Store and Google search
when
results.
When you search for Calendar, it's going to come up. It's the first name of the app.
Maybe it is. I think it's,
you know what? Let's test.
It's just App based on downloads store. Though, right? I mean, it's not, anyway, it doesn't matter. This is getting them
calendar
some sort of press. And it's also, I think it just, you have to think about, people can include, these app developers can include whatever they want. And you, especially for like a calendar app, you probably have to allow usage right when you install it. Right. You've got to say, yes, you can, you know, send me notifications. Yes, you can do all this other stuff. I think we're going to see more people doing this. I think we are going to see more folks using, well, and maybe not making it visible either, like using more computing power, especially for stuff like viruses or ransomware or things like that, where it's like, you don't even know that it's there. It's just in the background, sucking the life out of your computer, like the SETI stuff, right? Something that's running in the background in perpetuity, and it's sending those bits, those crypto mining whatchama habits over to somebody else.
Whatchama habit? Have you ever? I've tried the whatchama habit. It's a good chocolate bar.
It's a good bar? Yeah? How many ingredients in the whatchama habit?
Six.
Six ingredients. Like it takes six. Called the whatchamahabit. Yeah,
it's dish soap.
Why does it start at dish soap? That's usually the first ingredient. Usually the first glass. Ingredient is the most important one, Kenny.
Iguana blood.
Speaking of, gosh, that's weird. Speaking ice. Of things that you can eat.
And Teflon.
Oh boy. That is, I feel like that's more than six. Is that more?
No, I was counting on my hands.
We will eat food. We will eat food.
That's right, Kenny. It's time for a round of, what do we even call this?
I have no idea what you're doing.
Food time, stadium food. It's spring training in baseball land right now. And I've got a list here from azcentral.com. And they have a bunch of Arizona spring training baseball foods for us to look at.
Okay. Sounds good. I haven't eaten breakfast this morning, so I'm hungry.
Get ready.
Show me something that I can make in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. In your kitchen right now. No, actually, you need to take a plane down to Arizona and all the way to Dakota.
Where do I put it? I take it down there. Where do I put it?
You put it in your mouth. Not the plane. Don't put the plane in your mouth. Put the food.
Plane that food.
You get. The plane food is bad. When I was on the plane, is anyway. Kenny, the bracho. It's
the bracho. Mm-hmm. Can I point out that this sounds like it's nachos in a bra?
That wouldn't be bad because you'd get like two for the price of one, right?
One is chips and one is dip. Okay,
it doesn't sound like a great vessel for liquid cheese, though. If
like carry it out.
If I'm being honest, the bracho is actually fried kettle chips smothered in nacho cheese and topped with bratwurst slices.
I don't know if you can call kettle chips nachos. I think that's kind of sacrosanct.
They have to be tortilla, then, is what you're saying.
Correct. That's kind of the whole point. Like, do kettle chips hold? Do they hold their form among the weight of cheese and toppings?
Yes, because they are deep fried, thick cut kettle chips.
Nah, they sog up. Come on, okay. We all know that.
I'm okay with sog too, because you got the snap of the bratwurst slices right on top.
It's a snap, not a crisp.
This is at Maryvale Baseball Park, the home of your. Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay,
so go enjoy that. They also have fried white cheddar cheese curds, Wisconsin Friday fish fry,
and everything's just fried over there. Yeah, in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Seems like it. Let me find another one here. Ooh, 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 the Jim Beam Bourbon Dog, topped with hickory smoked pulled pork, house-made Jim Beam infused barbecue sauce, and fried onion straws.
Okay, so the barbecue hot dog equivalent of like a barbecue pulled pork sandwich burger thing.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, and this is at Sloan Park.
What's Sloan? Who are the team players who play at Sloan?
Chicago Cubs. Open since 2014, which I've never seen.
No, Sloan Park is not the Cubs, Kyle. That's Wrigley Field.
Oh boy. Hey, you know we're talking about spring training, right? Arizona.
Oh, spring training. Oh, that's right.
Okay, so all the teams are down there where it's hot. Not where it's cold, where I went during my vacation.
Boo, 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 boo.
They also have something called Carvery Cart. It's a tri-tip marinated in pineapple soy sauce, served on a Chicago-style hoagie with horseradish aioli.
I will take that. Two, please, actually.
Two of them. I think that might be a bad idea, but...
I'll share one with you.
Fair. I'm okay with that.
All right, that means you have to bring me with you if you go to spring training.
Surprise. It's a place in Arizona with a stadium. Mm-hmm. It's the home of what are these? Texas and Kansas City Royals.
Did you just call the Texas Rangers just Texas?
Yeah, the Texas. Couldn't think of the name. Couldn't think of the name of the team because nobody cares.
Well, you got Houston Astros,
mm-hmm.
You got Texas Rangers.
This one is about to be, boy, you shouldn't eat this in the morning. You shouldn't eat this. You should never eat this one. It's called a high heat dog.
High heat dog.
High heat hot dog topped with sriracha infused ketchup, Caribe pepper mustard. I don't know what Caribe is, but it's probably hot, I would assume. Some sort of pepper and jalapeno relish. To search for Caribe.
Okay.
Don't know what it
this
is.
This is the
Venezuelan TV series. That's probably not it.
I like that. This is the trip to the bathroom dog.
In the seventh inning, it's your seventh inning stretch, but you aren't stretching your body.
Bruh.
Mm-hmm. You could also, as I scroll through this collection of dishes, they've got the Dodger Dog at Camelback Ranch, you know.
How boring.
Yeah, not great. They have 18-inch pizza slices.
What?
And something called the Walk-Off Waffle at Salt River Fields. They are buffalo chicken bites topped with coleslaw and blue cheese crumbles stuffed into a sweetened waffle cone. Like an actual ice cream waffle cone.
Okay, I don't know about the... I don't know about the blue cheese crumble on this concoction here.
They're trying to balance the sweet and the heat and the stink and the shrink.
The waffle is kind of there to cut the heat, isn't it?
I think the coleslaw is there to cut the heat and the blue cheese.
What's the blue cheese doing?
Well, the blue cheese and buffalo is a very well known pairing.
Yeah, but you're putting coleslaw in between them. What's that about? I feel like you're mixing something that shouldn't be mixed.
I just don't think I want to have an ice cream cone filled with coleslaw at a baseball stadium.
Now, I had a waffle cone stuffed with, but it was whiskey bourbon infused syrup covered fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. So I remember this.
It was chicken and waffles. It was like chicken and waffle cone is what it was. Uh-huh. It was one of the most glorious foods I've ever had. I think adding coleslaw and blue cheese crumbles to that concoction would just mess it up. Also really messy, I'm sure.
I just don't... What about this one? What about this one, Kenny? The Ghost and the Darkness. It's a half-pound Angus burger topped with ghost peppers, pepper aioli sauce, and ghost jack cheese.
Yeah, I'll just eat that on the toilet.
You'll just stay in the restroom.
Serve it to me in the bathroom. I'll be right there.
Uh-huh. You could...
How could you?
You could just wash that down with pig and potato, a half pound of golden French fries smothered in nacho cheese sauce, smoked bacon, maple syrup, sriracha sauce, and sour cream. Hey, when I go to a baseball stadium, I don't want diarrhea. I want, like, food that I can eat and stay in my seat and not have to feel the urge immediately in the fourth inning.
I don't want to feel the earth give way under my butt.
Because, listen, this show diverges to number twos very quickly, but...
Exactly.
It is just unreasonable to expect, even if you ate this in the eighth inning, the second that you get in your car to leave the ballpark and to make your way out of the stadium, you and I have experienced this firsthand. It could take up to like 3 hours to get out of a stadium sometimes. If it's real bad and there's a blockage, and you don't have a blockage, you are in trouble. Absolutely. I would run out of my car and leave my car there in front of everyone if I had to.
You're the blockage.
I am. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I understand. Also, they totally wouldn't serve it in the eighth inning. By that point, all the shops have closed. So
you think
what they're doing is that they're selling these foods, right? When people enter the stadium, you know, maybe an hour, half an hour before the game starts, and you're munching on the food.
It's before the cutoff for the alcohol. Like, no, can't serve you anymore because you're going to go barfing.
Yeah. And they're like, play ball. And you go, I got to get out of here. And you miss the entire game because now you're searching in a wild, sweaty hunt of a bathroom that's not occupied.
Listen,
and it's this torturous, you're searching through a maelstrom of sweaty people in Arizona, mm-hmm. and everybody smells like, what was that last food called? The war pig?
Pretty much, yeah. Hot liquid lava.
You know, it's like crawling through a battlefield and you finally land on the dirtiest toilet in the stadium and you're just like, whatever, let's do this.
Who cares? At this point, really, it doesn't matter.
Welcome to spring training.
Good. Very good. The nice part about those stadiums there in Arizona is that they're real small. So it's easy to kind of, you know, go around the entire stadium.
Yeah.
And find one that's available to you.
I would run out on the field, have the security tackle me, take me into holding because I know they got a good bathroom back there.
Strip down to your skivvies, just because, you know, it'll skip a few steps and you'll be fine. That's a great idea. Good thing
that second base has some skid marks on it.
That's it. I'll give you that one. Kenny, that's it.
Okay.
I'm gonna wrap this up because the rest of the show will just end up. The rest of the show will just be number twos because we're stuck in it now. We're deep. Oh. The burn lasts for a while. You can also go to goodstuff.fm/morningshow and listen to some of our other episodes that hopefully are a little less number two adjacent. You can also check out some of the other great shows at goodstuff.fm, like our brand new show, Today's Special. It is it's a podcast, believe it or not, where we talk about the National Food Day, since we don't do that here anymore. So if you need more morning show type stuff in your life, that's where you go. We could also use some reviews on that show over at Apple Podcasts. And for this one, I mean, if we're being honest, we could really, really use that. That's it. We'll be back again next week. Until then, bye.
Yeah, it'll be the first day of spring, Kyle.
Ooh. Bye. Bum, 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 bum.